The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
The next time you head out of town, protect your vacation investment with tripinsurance.com. You can save up to 40% on comparable plans from the other guys. But find out for yourself. Get a free quote at tripinsurance.com.
Broadcasting from the tripinsurance.com studios in Jacksonville, Florida. This is Cruise Radio.
Hey, what's up? I'm Doug Parker. Thank you so much for making us a part of your day. Don't forget, we have an app. Just check out Cruise Radio Live in your smartphone app store. On this show, we'll talk to Sean Ford. He just got back from Princess Cruises, Grand Princess, and he'll give us a full ship review. But first, as always, Stuart Chiron, the Cruise Guy, found at cruiseguy.com. What's up, Stuart?
Hey, Doug, how's it going?
Good, man. Lots of news to get to, so let's get right to it. The first one, Carnival combating third-party shore excursion companies. Is this what it looks like?
Yeah, there's a lot of company or several companies that have developed over the years. And Carnival believes, one, it's eating away at their bottom line. But the reality is that they want to ensure people that book their shore excursions, just like everything else, that they're going to provide the best available shore excursions at the best prices. And if you happen to find something before you get on the, that you pre-booked during the sailing, let them know. They'll review it, and if it is indeed the case, they will refund you 110% of the difference. So this way, booking your shore excursions while on a Carnival cruise is worry-free.
So I was on a cruise last week, and I see all this footage of a lady going overboard on a Carnival ship. What happened here?
Well, it's an interesting event. This woman, Sarah Kirby, she went overboard. And, she claims that, she was given a multitude of drinks, and they kept feeding her drinks as fast as she could drink these Long Island iced teas. And she went back to her cabin after drinking one too many.
Mm-hmm.
And, by her own admission, and you can actually see the report for yourself that aired on 2020 at cruiseradio.net. And, by her own admission, Doug, she says that she leaned over the side of the balcony to get a view of the ship.
Mm-hmm.
And by the video, when you stop the video in the right places, essentially it appears that she actually stood on a chair, leaned out over the side of the ship around her knees, and fell. And she's lucky to be alive.
Okay, so let me ask you this then. So she drinks too much. Acts a fool if she did get on a chair and lean over or whatever. But if we were on land and you drank too much and got in a car and got a DUI, it would be your own fault for you. You see what I'm saying? Aren't you responsible for your own?
She actually endangered the life, not only her life, but she endangered the lives of all the passengers because they didn't just turn the ship around in a very slow and fluid motion.
Sure.
It was probably pretty abrupt and people probably fell over. But it's a travesty. But thank goodness that she was found.
Very good. It looks like Norwegian Getaway is en route to Florida, to Miami here at some point, but not before a Super Bowl stop, right?
Yeah, she is being chartered by Bud Light. She will be the Bud Light Hotel there in New York, and people will be able to watch watch the game from the ship. So that'll be pretty exciting to be on a brand new ship serving as a hotel there in Midtown Manhattan, which certainly save a lot of money on hotel expenses. And then she'll be heading to Miami. So right now she's doing a transatlantic to New York from Southampton. Spent a few days, spent some time up there. And she gets to, she'll go from New York to the Bahamas. And then she'll deadhead from Nassau to Miami and arrive in Miami on the 6th, and her naming ceremony will be on the 7th.
Very cool. Very cool. Last Sunday, I was coming in into Port Miami and saw Disney Wonder sitting there. Is Disney doing sailings out of Miami still?
Disney is, and you know, Disney Wonder and Disney Magic did a switch a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. So Disney Wonder is back, but she actually is going to get a little bit of a touch-up.
Oh.
She is in Freeport at this point. They canceled 2 5-night sailings, and apparently there was some unscheduled maintenance work, quite possibly due to a small fire that she happened on one of her last Alaska cruises.
Ooh.
So the ship is just getting a little bit of maintenance. She is not getting the extensive facelift and the extensive work that Disney Magic just received.
Mm-hmm.
But it is possible they may be doing something like that in 2015. But the work that's being done right now is you know, routine, you know, dry dock work and to probably fix the stuff from the fire.
How long is she supposed to be there for?
A total of 10 days.
Okay, there you go. Did I read this correctly? Did I see there was going to be a replica, a full-size replica of the Titanic at a theme park somewhere?
Well, someone is going to is investing $165 million to build a replica.
Wow.
Of Titanic. It'll be, I guess it'll be kind of interesting. I haven't a clue why someone would want to do it.
Where is this?
In China.
Okay.
They're going to have the theme park will be somewhere in central China. It'll be 900 miles from the nearest ocean. Personally, Doug, I think that they should probably wait until Clive Palmer, you know, his Titanic 2 runs aground. And
yeah,
there you go. It'll be a heck of a lot less expensive to use that. But notice they said replica. Clive Palmer's Titanic 2 is not a replica. It's somewhat like it, but he's making enormous differences between the ship, and it'll be, you know, slightly larger, and it really won't be a replica. But either way, I think either you know, his ship, if he ever builds it, you know, right now it's just a pipe dream,
right?
But if he ever builds it, you know, maybe we'll find it you know, at this park in central China or on International Drive in Orlando.
Right down the road from both of us. So Crystal Cruises, the luxury line, is offering passengers free internet for every day of the cruise. Is this kind of a game changer?
Well, I think, Doug, it is a game changer because it's the first major cruise line to offer past passengers free Wi-Fi starting in the fall of 2014. Essentially what they're going to be offering for every day that you're on the cruise, each cabin of a past passenger is entitled to 60 free minutes of internet service
each
day.
Do you think that internet is a big moneymaker for these mass market lines?
I think it really is.
Mm-hmm.
And but I also think that several of these lines, all the lines, I believe, Doug, are recognizing the importance, which is why they are, you know, working with companies like MTM and Harris Caprock to significantly improve the Wi-Fi services that they're offering on board the ships. So the, you know, while you're on the ship, or, you know, let's say in port, because a lot of what MTN is doing is they're providing land-based Wi-Fi for the ships while the ships are in port. But, you know, this is something that cruise passengers want. They want better service. They want faster service. And they want to be able to connect multiple devices.
Very cool. This next story I could personally vouch for because I was in Ocho Rios, Jamaica last week. And I see they're upgrading, seriously upgrading. In fact, it's all torn apart right now. But what are they doing? They're going to do some major upgrades there, right?
Well, it looks like they're going to be, you know, finally, I mean, they saw the huge success that Falmouth is enjoying, which I still think is one of the best ports in the Caribbean. So now they're finally turning their sights to Ocho Rios, who lost a lot of business to Falmouth, Jamaica.
Mm-hmm.
So they're investing about almost $4 million to upgrade the facilities. So the cruise terminal, not that we really care about the parking area, but that'll help queuing up the tours. They're going to have kiosks with you know, different crafts and different vendors, so it's going to be a major upgrade. You know, finally.
Yeah, because Jamaica, except Falmouth, everybody's like, oh, I hate to get off the ship in Jamaica. It's everyone, you know, approaches you. It feels unsafe. So hopefully, this will kind of lighten some of that.
Well, and if you remember the, you know, when you walk off the ship and you walk out into the main squares area, and then they have these shopping areas. I mean, they have these, you know, feels like 10 to 12 foot, you know, fences with barbed wire, and you wonder, is that supposed to keep them out or you in?
Right, exactly.
And so it for a lot of people, it could be unsettling. So it'll be nice for them to clean up the area. I think better promote and better exude the reasons of why you want to come back to Jamaica to make it a better experience. So, you know, maybe they can get a lot of return guests who are going for reasons other than a cruise.
Very good. If you didn't know it, now you do. Thanks, Stuart.
My pleasure, Doug.
Cruise Radio News, now trending at cruiseradio.net.
For over 42 years, Park West Gallery has introduced over 1.3 million people to fine art. Here's what actual customers are saying.
I've been collecting with Park West 5-6 years now.
6 years.
9 years.
10 years. Everybody we meet at Park West makes you feel comfortable. You're part of their family.
It is an exciting and fun experience. It is enjoyable, uplifting.
Park West has been so kind to us. Park West makes us excited to spend money on art.
To find out more about Park West Gallery, visit parkwestgallery.com or go to cruiseradio.net and click on the Park West Gallery icon.
It's not just a good idea to have travel insurance during the winter months or hurricane season. Every travel agent or travel expert we talk to says it is a very smart idea to always travel with travel insurance.
That's why you should check the folks out at tripinsurance.com. They have exclusive products from the leading travel insurers that you won't find anywhere else.
Yeah, they are the low-cost leader in travel insurance with savings up to 40% or more when you compare similar coverage from other sources.
What plan do you want to go with? Good, better, or best? They have coverage in all three categories that make it easy to find the right insurance plan for your budget.
You know what defines great customer service? Actually being able to talk to a human being. And they do that at tripinsurance.com. They are committed to great customer service with 24/7 telephone support before, during, and after your trip. You can also file claims online right on their website, and they keep you posted of any travel alerts that could affect your travels or safety at your destination. Check them out right now. tripinsurance.com.
We always love hearing your cruise reviews. If you have one you'd like to share, just email comments at cruiseradio.net. Sean Ford, aka Cruiseman 3000, just returned from a 15-night Hawaii sailing. Yes, 15-night on Princess Cruises' Grand Princess, and he joins us to talk all about his sailing. What's up, Sean?
Hey, Doug. How you doing? It's always great catching up with you.
Yeah, man, absolutely. I got to say, Sean, before we get started with the interview here, very proud of you for branching out. You're usually an NCL type guy, but the past year you've done Royal Caribbean, Carnival, and now Princess. What's next?
Yeah, I know, and I'm branching out to Celebrity this year and also MSC. So I know, I don't want my followers and friends to think that I'm leaving NCL behind, because I'm not, but I do want to see and explore everything that's out there, and Princess was definitely an awesome experience. I'm going to try it again.
Plus, you've been on every NCL ship, like, what, 10 times?
Only two or three times.
Yeah, exactly. So let's start from the beginning, Sean. You did a 15-night sailing to Hawaii from San Francisco, so what made you pick Grand Princess?
Grand Princess, you know, well, we were looking to definitely go to Hawaii, and I was looking at itineraries that were leaving from California, specifically over the Christmas and New Year holiday, and I didn't want to fly to Hawaii to do a cruise that left from Hawaii and sailed to Hawaii, because I had friends who did it, and they were just saying that the time zone change being from the East Coast was a little difficult,
yeah.
So I thought picking a cruise that maybe sailed into the time zone gave me some time for adjustment, and then also vice versa on the way back would be the best suit for me, especially someone who likes to sleep. So we looked at San Francisco. We looked at Los Angeles. And I've been to the L.A. area, the Long Beach area before. And so I've never been to San Francisco. So I thought it would be a great opportunity to explore a new city and embark on my Hawaii adventure.
Well, and I noticed that you you kind of did a grand tour of California up in L.A. and everything, didn't you, pre-cruise?
I did. Yeah, before the cruise, I went to, I stayed at the Queen Mary Hotel in Long Beach, California,
nice.
Which if you have not done that, you must. It is absolutely amazing. And then went to Los Angeles, Hollywood, Anaheim, and then up to San Francisco, hit Vegas on the way back. I mean, just did a whole West Coast shebang.
That's awesome. So you get aboard Grand Princess, and what was your first impression of the ship?
Oh, my goodness, massive. It was absolutely breathtaking to see the ship there at Pier 35 in San Francisco. At Fisherman's Wharf in San Francisco. I mean, Doug, you know some of the ships I've been on, like Norwegian Epic and Carnival Breeze, and
right.
some of the mega ones that I've sailed. And for me to still have that reaction for a ship that was built in 1998 was truly just remarkable for me within itself. So the first thing I wanted to do was explore the ship, because, you know, Princess is known for their piazzas, you know, which is their the phrase they use for their atrium. And it was just absolutely decked out with the best holiday decorations you could imagine. They had Santa on a sleigh and reindeer all over the place and gingerbread houses all over the place. And I tell you, it was just one of those places. It was one of those experiences where I was like, wow, I really feel like this ship might be a winner for the next 16 days. So it was a good experience getting on board.
You make your way around the ship and you get to your stateroom. So first off, what kind of stateroom did you book and what were your impressions of it?
I had an Ocean View stateroom. The stateroom was it was bigger than what I thought it was going to be. I was a little scared, or I wouldn't say scared, but I was thinking about the idea of having all of this luggage for 16 days, and there's two people in one cabin, and I didn't know if it was going to be enough space. But let me tell you something. The way that the room was set up was they had the beds and the counter, the desk area where the dressers are and the TV, separated by a corridor kind of thing in the room from additional storage space, and then the bathroom was to the left of that. So there was enough mobility. Everything was separated where you didn't feel you were on top of each other, and I have to say that it was probably one of the best cruise ship cabin staterooms I've stayed in a pretty long time.
So let's put the staterooms up against the Norwegian staterooms, Royal Caribbean and Carnival. Was it about the same, or?
I would say that compared to Norwegian, they were definitely bigger. Royal Caribbean, I definitely would say it was bigger. Carnival, it may have had Carnival by a slight edge, maybe like 20% larger, but in retrospect to all the rooms that I stayed in, it was probably the best room I stayed in, the most comfortable room that I stayed in, and one that if I were to sail a Princess ship again, I would definitely go for the Ocean. It was just perfect.
Yeah, and I guess the big difference is that Princess isn't a mass market line like the other ones, too, so it's a little more decked out, I guess you could say.
Yeah,
so let's talk about my favorite thing on Princess Cruises, and that's the food. So first off, where did you eat, and what did you think of it?
Oh, my God, where did I eat? Oh, my goodness. I ate everything that I could imagine. The food was absolutely out of this world. And let me tell you something. I'm comparing food to all the other cruises that I've sailed, and the food was just absolutely remarkable. And even speaking with other passengers on board who have sailed other lines like Holland America and Celebrity, a lot of people were raving about the food of Celebrity, but they were saying that the food that was on Princess, particularly on this sailing, was absolutely fantastic. The one thing that I really loved was that every night in the dining room, and I had the Anytime Dining in the Da Vinci dining room, and every time I ate in Da Vinci every night, they had the menu catered to the Hawaiian and Mexican destinations that we were sailing to.
Nice.
So, of course, I had a lot of fresh pineapple. I had fresh pig, bacon, coconut, macadamia nut, everything you could think of that's bountiful and fruitful in Hawaii. We were eating it every night in a new and innovative way, which was really, I really commend Princess for being able to come up with a menu for 16 days and 15 nights and keep it just not boring and the same thing all the time. So it was great. I had the one thing I really loved on board was the International Cafe, which was located on Deck 5. For those listeners who are familiar with the Royal Caribbean brand, it's very similar to the Park Cafe, offering a lot of light, healthy, and still very tasteful options, and it's 24 hours. And let me tell you something. They had one of the best bakeries there because they had a different cupcake flavor every day. I would know because I tried them all. They had bear claws in the morning. They made freshly baked donuts with just this amazing cream. It was just, oh my goodness, I could go on about the food. And they also had a pizzeria, which was a sit-down area. And as many of us know, who felt Princess is known for their world-class artisan, homemade from scratch pizza dough. And let me tell you, it is all that you think that it is. It's not just hype, people. You got to try it for yourself. It's really, really good. And the one thing that I was very impressed with on board, and I am an avid tea drinker, and I was very, very impressed with Princess for having put tea time on board the ship, not just once or twice for the cruise or three times or maybe four times for the 16 days. They had tea time every single day with the Earl Grey and the Lipton tea and the tea scones and the tea sandwiches and the tea cookies and the desserts and the cream. It was just immaculate. It was awesome. I loved it. Every day at 3:30, I went for my spot of tea, and I thoroughly enjoyed it before dinner.
How about specialty restaurants? Did you dine at any of those?
Specialty restaurants, yes. Sabatini's, the Crown Grill. They also offered this thing called the Crab Shack, which was a seafood thing. Now, being from Baltimore, my seafood palate was...
Yeah.
I don't want to say it was harsh on Princess.
But your crab.
Princess, yes, I know my crab. And Princess tried because, they made the Maryland Blue Crab, but they spelled Maryland M-A-R-I-L-A-N-D, and we spell it with a Y, and they made it with fish because I could taste it in the crab cake. So that was the only downer, but everything else was good. Sabatini's, the steakhouse was, oh my gosh. You need to make sure that if you go to Sabatini's, you don't eat for the whole day because you're not going to figure out how you're going to get more and more food in. The steak was just absolutely phenomenal. They also had, you know, the seafood option. The lobster on board was fabulous. Oh, my goodness. The lobster from there was just absolutely great. And all of the desserts, everything from the pineapple brulee to the brownie peanut butter cake that I had to, they had made gourmet ice cream every night. And there was there were three different flavors every night. So they had a tiramisu ice cream, a pina colada ice cream, black cherry ice cream. It was all gourmet, freshly made, fantastic. And for New Year's, they made they made champagne sorbet from scratch. And that was phenomenal. And I had two orders, don't tell anyone. But it was really, really good. It was absolutely amazing. I was like, oh, there's real champagne in this. It was so great.
Sean, I've been doing these interviews like this for about 4.5 years now, and I've never heard someone as passionate about the food than this interview right here. So the big question is,
what can I say? I love to eat.
Yeah, the big question is, how much weight did you gain?
I'm scared to say the number. It is not a double digit number.
Okay, well, that's good.
I gained 9.5 pounds, so I was almost at 10 pounds. But
okay.
Considering for 16 days and 15 nights, and that was just the cruise, and I was gone for a total of 23 days, you know, being in Vegas and L.A. and San Francisco as well. So
yeah,
I thought that was okay.
Yeah, you're very good there. You're fine. Sean, we were talking off mic. I put on 20 pounds over my last 5 sailings. So January 1st. I put a picture of my gut on my screensaver on my phone.
No, you didn't.
So every time I go to eat crap, I see it on my phone, and I'm like, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to stand back.
That's right. The willpower, the self-determination. Hey, but I will tell you this. There was someone I met on the cruise, and the 16 days we were on the ship gained 26 pounds.
Wow.
So I don't feel so bad.
What?
I don't. And he wore that as an honor. Like, he was like, I gained 26 pounds. And I was like, oh, okay.
Well, let's talk about the entertainment on Grand Princess. What'd you think?
Okay, now let me tell you this, Doug. I'm also not a person that goes to those production shows. And I met a couple of friends on board, and they were just going on and on and on. Oh, you got to go to this show. You got to see this show. And I'm like, oh, really? But you know what, Doug? I was absolutely pleasantly surprised. The one show that I really enjoyed was called Don't You Wanna Dance? And that was an awesome show where they captivated the dance movements from all around the world. They did river dancing in Ireland. They did the Spanish traditional dances from Spain. They did African tribal dances. They did rock and roll dances from America. They went all around the globe, and it was just awesome. The costumes, the music, the lighting, the production was absolutely fantastic. And another one of my favorite shows that they did was the Motor City show, which was a tribute to the Motown hit, which was just so just awesomely executed by the singers, the dancers, the production staff. I tell you, Princess really did do a thorough job when looking for their dancers and their singers, because everything was just on point, knockout, out of the ballpark.
Very good. What were your overall thoughts of Grand Princess?
Overall thoughts of the ship, I miss the Skywalkers, and everyone who has been on that ship before, who was on it now, miss the Skywalkers. And you know, Doug, when I go on a cruise, I'm ready to turn it up and turn it out. And the thing I need to do is I need to have enough space in the dance floor. And you know, the Club 15 that they replaced with the Skywalkers, it was okay, but it wasn't Skywalkers. You know, where you're up there and you're turning it out, and the lights are going, and you hit the music moving you. But, you know, overall, the ship was just absolutely fantastic. I thought that of all the cruises I've been on, I haven't seen more pools and hot tubs in one ship. My only complaints, I don't like to use the word complaints. My only areas for suggestion would be that For a ship that holds that amount of people, the gym was very, very small. And I just thought that it would be a little bigger. But other than that, I love the public areas. There was always a good, cool space to find to get a read in. This was the one ship where I didn't have to fight people for a deck seat, which was surprising to me. I guess a lot of the Californians weren't used to the 60 and 50-degree weather, mm-hmm. which is all fine by me because I was laying out on the deck because my East Coast immune system was ready for it.
You were welcoming it.
I was with open arms. So that was just that was my only thing. The public areas were fine. The piazza was just beautiful. The lounges were just awesome. I mean, everything on the ship, overall impression of the ship, fantastic.
So, Sean, in closing, do you have any first-time kind of been-there, done-that type tips for Grand Princess?
Yes, my been-there, done-that tip. Okay, so I noted that there were a lot of British and English cruisers on board the vessel. And one of the popular things that was on board was the pub lunch. Now, the pub lunch is only offered, I believe, twice, two or three times throughout the cruise. The first time that you see it open, you need to sign up for it because there were a lot of people turned away at the third time that they offered it. And the mm-hmm. same thing proves true for the Crab Shack. And the Crab Shack is a meal that they offer on board, which is catered just for seafood lovers. So there's just crab and lobster, oysters, mussels. And those two dining options are extremely popular. So make sure that if you do want to do it and you say, oh, I'll do it later on in the cruise, you don't do it later on the cruise because there's a chance you might get turned away.
Well, very good. And Sean, did you write about this journey at all?
I did. It's on my blog. I also captured it via pictures on my Twitter and Instagram feeds as well.
You can find Sean's blog at theoceanescape.blogspot.com. Also on Twitter and Instagram at cruiseman3000. Sean, Happy New Year. God bless you. And thank you so much for spending some time with us tonight on the show.
Thanks so much, Doug. I hope to catch up with you on the high seas soon.
All righty. That'll do it for this episode of Cruise Radio. Remember, we have an app. Just search Cruise Radio Live in your smartphone app store. If you're checking us out on iTunes or Stitcher, feel free to give us a review at cruiseradio.net/Stitcher or cruiseradio.net/iTunes. From the tripinsurance.com studios in Jacksonville, Florida, I'm Doug Parker, and this is Cruise Radio.
Cruise Radio is recorded weekly at the tripinsurance.com studios in Jacksonville, Florida. Download the Cruise Radio app. Hear Cruise Radio on TuneIn Radio, the Stitcher Radio Network, iTunes, CruiseAddicts.com, and on our website at cruiseradio.net. For advertising opportunities, email sales@cruiseradio.net. I'm your announcer.
Still haven't gotten your travel fix? Then check out the Weekend Travel Show. Search the Weekend Travel Show on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and the TuneIn Radio app. Cruise Radio is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/travel show. Over 150,000 titles to choose from, delivered straight to your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. That's audibletrial.com/travel show.